Napa know-how.
When you purchase a set of Napa brake pads and rotors, you get a discount code from Fanatics.com worth up to $50 towards your favorite sports gear. While Napa can't help your team reach the promised land, we can help make sure your car will, because these brakes come with something no sports team does: guaranteed performance. Great brakes, great price, great fan gear. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
Offer expires September 30th, 2017.
You are Locked On Redskins, your daily podcast on the Washington Redskins, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Today's edition of Locked On Redskins is brought to you by MyBookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid. Visit MyBookie.ag today. How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of Locked On Redskins. I'm your host, Zach Hicks. And as always, I'm very glad that you guys are listening to me. I love having all the listeners. This week was actually a big week for Locked On Redskins. It's been the most traffic I've had since taking over. So very thankful for all you listeners and all you new listeners. I promise I won't have this spaced out schedule like I had this week. I tried getting a lot of guests on, and all in all, it was my first experience trying to get guests on, and it kind of spaced out my shows a little bit this week. I will get better with that in the future, so please stay tuned and keep listening. But all you new listeners, I'm very happy to have you guys here. To keep up with the whole guest week that we have going, though, I have probably my favorite guest of the week. He is my co-host on Breaking the Draft. Well, I'm his co-host. It's his show over there. This is my show. My co-host from Breaking the Draft over at Breaking Football, I have Jonathan Valencia. How's it going, man?
What's up, Zach? Happy to be here. I like this little role reversal we got going on.
Yeah, it is definitely a role reversal. I'm typically the one who waits for the questions, and now it's your turn to get the questions from me. So it's a little bit of a role reversal. So John, tell the people who are listening where they can follow your work and where they can find you on Twitter.
You can follow my work at BreakingFootball.com and Twitter at JohnValencia_WI.
Awesome, awesome. I did promise you I would ask you this question before we came on. I promised you on Breaking the Drafts, and I've been warning you about it for quite a while now. What was your draft grade on Monte Nicholson, and why were you wrong?
Monte Nicholson, I don't think I even, maybe as a seventh-round guy, I didn't see too much of Nicholson. I didn't dive into the safeties as much as you did. He's definitely looked good and has surprised me for sure.
Yeah, John and I are both big draft guys, so this will be a very draft-based type episode, along with we will jump into some Eagles-Redskins, because John, unfortunately, is an Eagles fan. Sucks for him.
Best record in the NFL.
For now. You just wait. Since the 2017 draft was a draft that John and I both worked on together, actually we both worked on at the same site together at Breaking Football. Check out that site, it is a great site. We are doing some good things over there. It's actually improving every day and getting a lot bigger than what I thought it would ever be. I love Breaking Football, so definitely go check out Breaking Football. I should have a scouting report up tomorrow on some Virginia Tech player, so look for that to drop tomorrow. But anyway, before I keep tooting my own horn here, we are going to do a little exercise where we go back on the 2017 draft and we see with our respective teams which players are standing out. So I will start off with one player from the Redskins draft that is standing out and meeting my expectations or exceeding expectations is Jonathan Allen. Now, I know he is out for the year, or maybe out for the year. He is on IR designated to return, but Allen has been outstanding this year when he has played. A lot of Ioannidis' success up the middle has been because of Jonathan Allen. I know he's only got like a sack and a half recorded on the year, but Ioannidis has got 4 sacks on the year as an interior defensive lineman. If you watched it all last game, a lot of Ioannidis' pressure and a lot of his success at the middle came from Allen taking those double teams. So Allen has been great. John, where did you have Jonathan Allen ranked on your board?
Jonathan, I definitely have him as a first-round guy. I want to say maybe in the low teens.
Yeah, I think you and I both had him fairly high, but not as high as the consensus. I think I also had him around there because we had, what was it, McDowell? We both had McDowell as our top defensive lineman. So, John, give me the top Eagles rookie producer for your team this year.
I'm going to have to go with Rasul Douglas. He was a pick. I like Douglas, but I probably wasn't as high on him as most. I know Ben Solak, I locked on Eagles. That's his son. I still refer to Douglas. But he's been good. He's flashed ball skills that we've lacked since maybe Asante Samuel, already 2 interceptions on the year. I think when Sidney Jones returns, if he returns to the quality of play that we expect, I think Jones and Douglas can be the best cornerback tandem Philadelphia's had since maybe Lito Shepard and Sheldon Brown.
Yeah, I was actually not that big a fan of Douglas either coming out. I think I had like a 5th-round grade on him. I thought he was really stiff. I didn't think he could actually match up as well in the NFL, but he is proving me and a lot of other doubters wrong. And big props to Ben Solak over on Locked On Eagles, because I remember he was hyping him up almost every single day over there. So,
still does.
Yeah, I know, he still does. That's now he has his own outlet for it on Locked On Eagles. So go check that out if you want to hear a lot about Rasul Douglas. My next rookie, though, that I want to talk about, we're only going to go two here. We're not going to go too much into this. But the next rookie that I want to talk about for the Redskins is not going to be Monte Nicholson because I talk him up every single podcast. I'm sorry, guys, but it's going to happen. I will continually talk Monte Nicholson up. But Fabian Moreau's impact has been probably the most underrated thing about this team this year. I'm not talking about his impact on defense. I'm not even talking about his impact, you know, making plays when he has had those limited snaps on defense. Him as a special teamer, though, has been outstanding. He is covering punts better than any player I've ever seen on this Redskins team besides Lorenzo Alexander, who I miss him dearly, Lorenzo Alexander. But Fabian Moreau has been a great gunner for this Redskins team. He is stopping a lot of punts in their tracks and just making sure tackles down there, something that we have needed for a long time. I think I've only seen one punt return go for over 10 yards this year against the Redskins, and it was last week with Trent Taylor. And that was more when Fabian Moreau was in a starting role, so I don't even know if Moreau was out there for that punt. So overall, Moreau's impact on special teams has been great, and when he eventually steps into a starting role in this team, I do think he's going to excel and be an elite player. Where did you have Moreau ranked on your big board last year?
I was actually pretty big on Moreau. As we talked on Breaking Draft Podcast last week, in the Shrine game, that's when I really caught eye on Moreau. It makes sense that he's been doing well on special teams because he has that sprinter speed to chase down the ball, and he's a really good tackler in space as well. I think he projects pretty well as a nickel corner. I don't know if he's gotten a lot of looks there, but I know he's been more primary as a special teamer, but he'll probably get more playing time this week, which will be good to see. I think I have Moreau as a third rounder, and I think he'll have a solid career in Washington.
Yeah, I actually had Moreau, I think, as an early second round player. There's a couple corners I like better than him, but I love Moreau to death. Who is your next big rookie that you have for the Eagles this season?
There's really not much going on besides Douglas. Jones is injured. Pumphrey is on the IR. Nate Jerry's going to make his first he's going to make his debut, just sign off the practice squad in place of Chris Maragos. I guess I'll just go with the first rounder, Derek Barnett. I think everyone in Eagles Nation was just so, there was no positive reaction. I want to say most was just like it was just in the middle. And then some, like Michael Kist, it was dark days for Eagles fans. He's been okay. He's been a rotational piece with Vinny Curry and Brandon Graham playing out of their mind right now. He's expanded his hand usage a little bit, which I like to see. I think Schwartz was a really good defensive coordinator for him. Of course, he has that quickness off the snap, which was his signature at Tennessee. Had a half sack week one against the Skins. I want to say he'll make his biggest impact of the season this week just because it's Monday Night Football. I think they'll get him involved and just he'll have a solid game.
Another thing to look at with him too, Trent Williams is still dinged up by that knee injury. And it was very noticeable last week. Now, I still think Williams will be able to own him. I don't think Barnett is. I think Barnett's more of a production-type player. Like, he's going to he's gonna have good numbers, but he's not going to be as good as what those numbers say. Because he has, like, what, 2.5 sacks now on the year? 2 sacks on the year?
I think he just said 1 sack. I think he has 2 half sacks.
Gotcha. Yeah, so I was really low. Where did you rank Barnett going into last year's draft?
I can't remember if I had him as a first-rounder. I want to say I had him as an early second-rounder.
Yeah, I think I was around the same. I know Michael Kist, you brought it up, really did not like that pick. I had a lot of fun attacking him.
For Michael that night. I remember I was in, I think you might have been in the group chat too. It was just like a random draft chat that someone made that day. And like, he went to the draft. Mike was in Philly at the draft. 3 hours later after the pick, he's still venting about it. He's like, wait, what chat am I even in right now?
I think Mike was a little inebriated at that point. We're just going to say that. Probably drunk on happiness that Derek Barnett is a Philadelphia Eagle, I'm assuming.
Yep.
Before we jump into our next segment, though, where we're going to talk more about this actual Philadelphia team versus this Washington team here, I want to let you know that mybookie.ag is the best source for your betting. And remember, where you're betting is just as important as what you're betting on. MyBookie has been in the business for years, and their rep is rock solid. They do 100% cash bonuses, so right off the bat, you're making money for doing nothing. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business, and an all-new mobile site that makes wagering on the go a breeze. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to 100% bonus. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate your offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. So, although I could talk to John all day about draft prospects, which we usually do when it comes to our break in the draft pod, we talk for quite a bit on there, so be sure to check that out again. But we are really here to break down this Washington and Philadelphia matchup this week. And now, last week I had a big segment where I broke down the top 5 players who I thought would be big performers in last week's games, and you guys seem to love it. So the way we're going to kind of do this is I'm going to name a player that I think has a big game for the Redskins, and then John's going to name a player who he thinks has a big game for the Eagles. We're just kind of going to go back and forth with that. So my first player that I think has a big game this week is Matt Ioannidis. I think Matt Ioannidis has been great this year. I'm not going to lie about that. I'm not going to try to hide it. You guys know I've been hyping him up all year on here. But this is his biggest test of the year. The Eagles have a solid offensive line throughout, you know, their whole offensive line is solid. You know, the guards are definitely their weaker spot. But overall, again, it's a very solid offensive line. And no Jonathan Allen. So the big question has been going into this week, is Matt Ioannidis all of his success because of Jonathan Allen, or is it because of him? I think it's because of him, and I think he shows up this week. And Stacy McGee, again, is a fill-in player who is a solid fill-in player. He's going to eat up space. He's going to make it a lot easier for Matt Ioannidis, and I think Ioannidis is going to have a big game. I don't think it's going to be like statistically as great as it was last week, but something along the lines of how he played against like the Raiders, where it's constant pressure up the middle, driving guards back into Wentz's face, I think we can see a big week again from Matt Ioannidis. So Matt Ioannidis, my third big performer of the week for the Redskins. John, who do you have for the Eagles?
It's hard not to go with Carson Wentz. He had a really big game week one against the Redskins. I think you'll probably touch on it a little bit more, but Breland and Norman are both banged up a little bit. And you're just seeing continued progression out of Wentz every single week, I think. Even if the box score might not indicate that, he's just become more advanced as a passer overall, and he's taking tremendous strides in his progression. Since week three, 9 touchdowns, only 1 interception. And Jonathan Allen out, I think that's a huge hit to the defensive line, their pass rush generation. And at home last year against Washington, nearly 70% completion percentage over 300 yards. I think Wentz has a big day on Monday.
Yeah, to kind of go back to what you just said about Norman and Breland, it looks like Josh Norman and Rashad Breland are both going to try to tough it out this week. I'm actually not a huge fan of that. And honestly, I would rather have Dunbar at 100% play over, you know, Josh Norman at 50% or Rashad Breland at 70%. So I'm not a big fan of those guys playing this week. I will say they are warriors. Josh Norman is playing with broken ribs and Rashad Breland is playing with a sprained MCL. I really think that MCL is going to be a problem for Breland, and we know how he is with his confidence. So once he gives up a couple big plays in this game because he has a sprained MCL, it could be bad for his confidence. So I'm not excited about them playing. I hope it's more in a limited capacity. But yeah, I'm completely with John here. I think Wentz has a big game as a result. So my next big player who I think has a big game, I'm going to be drinking the Kool-Aid on this one because he has been having kind of a poor year at this point, but he typically has really good games against the Eagles. I'm going to go with Jordan Reed on this one. Jordan Reed has had a poor year this year. He's been fighting off some injuries like always. He's never really healthy, it seems like. But he always has big games against the Eagles. And I really don't understand why. Jordan Hicks is one of the most athletic linebackers in all of football. And Malcolm Jenkins is one of the better safeties in football too, in my opinion. I don't know how John feels about those two hot takes for me. I don't know if they're even hot takes, but Jordan Hicks and Malcolm Jenkins are good players, and those are your two types of players you usually have cover tight ends. But for some reason, Jordan Reed finds a lot of success against these Eagles in the last couple years, especially in that big game, I think that week 16 game it was 2 years ago or a year ago when the Redskins had to get into the playoffs.
They won that game, right?
Yeah, the Redskins won that game. The big fumble at the end that D'Angelo Hall recovered for a touchdown was big. But by the way, Jordan Reed had 2 touchdowns in that game. He was basically uncoverable. I don't know what it is with the Eagles, why they can't cover him. They typically do pretty well against tight ends. So Jordan Reed, though, I think he has a big game because this is a team he has success against, and I think Jay Gruden tries to scheme him open in a big divisional game. Who do you got as your next player, John?
I'm going to go with the receiver here, and it's not my boy Nelson Aguilar. I want to go with him, but I think this is the game Alshon Jeffrey really breaks out as an Eagle. He's due big time, and working against Josh Norman, who's going to be at, 50, 70%, who knows. Definitely a depleted Josh Norman, not the finished product that we're used to seeing week to week. But I think this is the first week Jeffrey goes over 100 yards, or the first game Jeffrey goes over 100 yards as an Eagle. 18 pass defense for the Redskins, it's not really well, especially with the corners banged up. I look for Jeffrey to have a big touchdown late in the game, so that's one of my predictions as well.
All right, so we're going to get into score prediction soon, so John's giving a little sneak peek of that one there. Yeah, I do think Jeffrey does have a big game against this Redskins team just because of the injuries at corner and Carson Wentz is playing so well. So my top player I'm going to go with, though, for the Redskins for this week, who's going to have a big game, is my guy, Kirk Cousins. I love Kirk Cousins. I know a lot of Eagles fans. I know on Locked On Eagles, I was getting flack. They were saying he sucks. He does not suck. John, I really hope you don't say he sucks, or I'm going to make you sing Hail to the Redskins before you get off if you say he sucks.
I don't know that song.
You don't know it. Okay, we're gonna pause it, and then we're going to play it for you, and then you have to sing it back to me. But anyway, Kirk Cousins, I think, has a big game this week. I saw a lot last week that Cam Newton was able to run on this Eagles team. He had 70 yards and a touchdown on Thursday night last week against the Eagles. And Cousins, ever since that week one game, has realized he needs to use his legs more. So I think that's going to be a big thing with Cousins, especially with this tenacious front four that the Eagles have. I think it is they get a lot of pressure, but they do lose their gap discipline every now and then. So I do see Cousins getting almost 50 yards, maybe even more than 50 yards rushing this game, because he does escape the pocket very well. When it comes to passing, I do think Jordan Reed, again, has a big game. And I think this is a week where Doxson also has a good game because they are going to play him some more. So overall, I see Cousins benefiting from those two. And also, the Redskins screen game is at its best I've ever seen it in my lifetime right now. Chris Thompson is on a roll. The offensive line is on a roll. So Cousins, I think, has a big game, especially from a statistical standpoint. Who do you got as your number one here?
We have Patrick Robinson. PFF has him as the number two corner right now. And who's the best Redskins receiver to this point, Chris Thompson?
Chris Thompson would be our number one receiver at this point, just because of the screen game.
I definitely like that Josh Doxson is going to be more involved. Why Ryan Grant over Doxson at this point? That's something I wanted to ask you.
No, it's a tough question. I think Grant has actually played better than what I thought this year. And he actually has looked solid. It's just, I don't know. You can ask 100 Redskins fans this question. Why Doxson's not playing over this player? Why Doxson's not playing over this player? We have no clue why. We don't know at this point. His snaps were at 50% against the Chiefs. The last week it dropped down to 25%. So I don't know what's going on. I don't think he's injured. I really don't know. So, yeah, I don't know. Go back to your Patrick Robinson thing, though. I have no clue.
I think Kirk Cousins is going to throw an interception this game. Although I'd really like your input on him using his legs more. I don't know about 50 yards. I'll give him maybe 30, 40. I definitely like that insight, though. That would be key because I think the wide receivers are going to be covered, and Jordan Reed is going to be the main source of production. That's why I really like that pick as well for you. But Patrick Robinson, he signed like a $1 million contract. He's been a top five corner according to PFF, and his interception last week, and I think he gets one this week.
Yeah, Robinson's played really well this year. I did not. That's something I did not see coming. Did you see that coming at all coming into this year?
That was huge because when Ronald Darby went down, everyone, we're done. Our corners are already trash. So we're just going to be giving up 300 passing yards each game. But Robinson's played really well. Douglas has flashed. And Jalen Mills, he's really hit or miss, but he has his moments.
How much do you think that is because of their defensive line and their linebacker core is really solid too? How much do you think the cornerback success, though, is because of that defensive line?
That's a really good question. And I think it definitely has some impact because Patrick never will have a career now. I think the defensive line they have probably a top five defensive line in the league right now. I wonder what the time the quarterbacks had to throw after the snap against the Eagles. I'm interested in that number because that's definitely forcing quarterbacks to make bad throws, and Robinson and Douglas are just eating up these interceptions.
Yeah, I'll try to look that up on Pro Football Focus after that. But yeah, those are some good players. So everybody be on the lookout for those players, Matt Ioannidis, Jordan Reed, Kirk Cousins, and for the Eagles, Carson Wentz, Alshon Jeffery, and Patrick Robinson. Those are our players that we think are going to have big games this week. So, John, I did promise a couple of my friends, and you know what? I kind of want to do this for myself. I wanted to have a segment about the greatness of Bo Allen. So we are going to talk a little bit about Bo Allen to finish off this podcast. What are your takes on Bo Allen at this point in his career?
My takes, one of them, this is kind of more generated towards you. I don't think you should put him at wide receiver in Madden, first off.
Why not? I don't understand. He catches everything. He is sure-handed out there. I could actually play him at quarterback, and I think that Bo Allen is one of the greatest things on this planet.
He's probably the nicest person on the Eagles. He has luscious locks. My first point, that goes back to Ben and Mike on the Locked On Eagles podcast. Those locks, I don't know how you beat that.
It's just like, it's so beautiful. It's golden, like golden locks just flow down to his shoulders. I love Bo Allen, everything about him. Have you seen his Twitter account, his dating profile that he put on there?
Oh my gosh, no, I haven't.
So Bo Allen made a dating profile on Zeusk or something. I don't know what the dating profile was called. But it's just a bunch of pictures of him in a bunny onesie where he's saying hopping into your love life or something like that. It's so great. Bo Allen just in all those things. I just love Bo Allen. So one Eagles player I will always root for the rest of the time is Bo Allen. I love him. Defense alignment. You know what? I know we're talking about all the funny stuff about him. He's actually a solid defensive lineman,
right? Yeah, that's what I was going to say. He's a solid depth of the lineman. I think he's probably the perfect type of person you want as your number three coming off the bench.
Yep, he's a good run stuffer, provides a good push in the passing game. And also, he's a great dude to have in the locker room. So, Bo Allen, this podcast will always endorse Bo Allen. We will do it secretly, though, because it's not good for the brand. We can't talk about Eagles players all the time. But Bo Allen is definitely one of our favorite players here on Locked On Redskins. All right, guys, that's all we really have for today. Be sure to tune in on Monday as I probably break down the last little bit I have on the Eagles and Redskins, because the game is a Monday night game, so I will try to get you guys as prepared as possible for that game. I know we are kind of beating the dead horse this week, but it is a big matchup that has big divisional implications. John, any last words before we call it a day?
No, thanks a lot for coming on. I hope you're ready for an L on Monday. That's about it. Go Yankees.
Go Yankees. No, you can't. You can't come in here endorsing the Eagles and the... How does that even happen? How do you have the Eagles and the
Yankees? That's something I was going to say. It's more common than you think. I'll just say that.
It's still bandwagon.
Well, I'm from New Jersey. It's about an hour from New York and an hour from Philly. So I kind of... It's weird. I got different vibes growing up.
So how come in baseball it's the Yankees, but in football it's the Eagles? Why not pick like a city?
I'll admit that the Eagles was kind of a bandwagon, but I was really young and I stuck with them. So I'd say... I don't think I'm at fault here, but when I had Terrell Owens back, I think it was 2004, 2005 when they made the Super Bowl that year. During week one, that's when I set in my mind I was going to become an Eagles fan, and they made the Super Bowl that year, and I've been an Eagles fan ever since.
So the Eagles are your bandwagon team, not the Yankees.
I'll say that, but so I never liked the football team up until that point, so that's kind of just the team I cling to. And for the Yankees, I've been just going to Yankees games my entire life.
Gotcha. Well, for John's sake, go Yankees. Thank you for coming on, though, John. Be sure to check us out on Breaking the Draft over at Breaking Football, and also check out Breaking Football in general. We have a lot of good guys over there, a lot of good writers, and we're doing some great things over Breaking Football. So check that out, and be sure to tune in next week for another episode of Locked On Redskins, Monday through Thursday around 6 o'clock, guys.
Is democracy in danger or decline? Condoleezza Rice, William Galston, and Carlos Gutierrez and others take on this question in the fall edition of The Catalyst, a journal of ideas from the Bush Institute. Surveys show Americans place less trust in institutions like the media and business. Others contend America has faced far more challenging periods and emerged strong. Leading policymakers, Bush Institute experts, and respected journalists take on this debate. Read about it at bushcenter.org/catalyst.